Leviticus 24 through 25, 46. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel, that they bring to you clear oil from beaten olives for the light, to make the lamp burn continually, outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting. Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a permanent statute throughout your generations. He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. Then you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense in each row, so that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him from the Lord's offering by fire, his portion forever. Now the son of an Israelite woman, his father was an Egyptian, went out among the sons of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and an Israelite man had a fight within the camp. And the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. Now his mother's name was Shilemith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody, waiting for Moses to give them a clear decision in accordance with the command of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and have all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then have all the congregation stone him. You shall also speak to the sons of Israel, saying, If anyone curses his God, then he will bear the responsibility for his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The stranger as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. Now, if someone takes any human life, he must be put to death. But the one who takes the life of an animal shall make restitution, life for life. If someone injures his neighbor, just as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just as he has injured a person, so it shall be inflicted on him. So the one who kills an animal shall make restitution. But the one who kills a person shall be put to death. There shall be only one standard for you. It shall be for the stranger as well as the native. For I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they brought the one who had cursed outside the camp, and stoned him with stones. So the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord then spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land which I am going to give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather its produce. But during the 7th year the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field, nor prune your vineyard. You shall not reap your harvest's aftergrowth, and you shall not gather your grapes of untrimmed vines. The land shall have a sabbatical year. All of you shall have the Sabbath produce of the land as food, for yourself, your male and female slaves, and your hired worker, and your foreign resident, those who live as strangers among you, even your cattle and the animals that are in your land, shall have all its produce to eat. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. So that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, that is, 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. So you shall consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim a release throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as jubilee. You shall not sow nor harvest its aftergrowth, nor gather grapes from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. Furthermore, if you make a sale to your friend, or buy from your friend's hand, you shall not wrong one another. Corresponding to the number of years after jubilee, you shall not buy from your friend. He is to sell to you according to the number of years of crops. In proportion to a greater number of years, you shall increase its price. And in proportion to fewer years, you shall decrease its price, because it is the number of crops that he is selling to you. So you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore follow my statutes, and keep my judgments so as to carry them out, so that you may live securely on the land. Then the land will yield its produce, so that you can eat your fill and live securely on it. But if you say, "What are we going to eat in the seventh year if we do not sow nor gather in our produce?" Then I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the produce for 3 years. When you are sowing the eighth year, you can still eat old things from the produce, eating the old until the ninth year when its produce comes in. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, for you are only strangers and residents with me. So every piece of your property you are to provide for the redemption of the land. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he sells part of his property, then his closest redeemer is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Or, in case someone has no redeemer, but recovers to find sufficient means for its redemption, then he shall calculate the years since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and so return to his property. But if he has not found sufficient means to get it back for himself, then what he has sold shall remain in the hands of its purchaser until the year of jubilee. But at the jubilee it shall revert, so that he may return to his property. Likewise, if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his redemption right remains valid until a full year after its sale. His right of redemption lasts a full year, but if it is not bought back for him within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city passes permanently to its purchaser throughout his generations. It does not revert in the jubilee. The houses of the villages, however, which have no surrounding wall, shall be regarded as open fields. They have redemption rights and revert in the jubilee. As for the cities of the Levites have a permanent right of redemption for the houses of the cities which are their possession. What, therefore, belongs to the Levites may be redeemed, and a house sale in the city of this possession reverts in the jubilee, because the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the sons of Israel. But pasture fields of their cities shall not be sold, for that is their permanent possession. Now, in case a countryman of yours becomes poor and his means among you falter, then you are to sustain him, like a stranger or a resident, so that he may live with you. Do not take any kind of interest from him, but fear your God, so that your countrymen may live with you. You shall not give him your silver at interest, nor your food for profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. Now, if a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, ye shall not subject him to a slave's service. He shall be with you as a hired worker, as if he were a foreign resident. He shall serve with you up to the year of Jubilee. He shall then leave you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, so that he may return to the property of his forefathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out from the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold in a slave sale. You shall not rule over him with severity, but are to revere your God. As for your male and female slaves, whom you have, you may acquire male and female slaves from the pagan nations that are around you. You may also acquire them from the sons of the foreign residents who reside among you, and from their families who are with you, whom they will have produced in your land. They also may become your possession. You may also pass them on as an inheritance to your sons after you, to receive as a possession. You can use them as permanent slaves, but in respect to your countrymen, the sons of Israel, you shall not rule with severity one over another. Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the other 99 in the open pasture and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins, loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that is coming to me.' And so he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate in wild living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began doing without. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to have his fill of the carob pods that the pigs were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired laborers have more than enough bread, but I am dying here from hunger? I will set out and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired laborers.' So he set out and came to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, slaughter it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you never gave me a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead, and has begun to live, and was lost, and has been found." 1 Corinthians 8. Now, concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes one conceited, but love edifies people. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all people have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now, food will not bring us close to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this freedom of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, the one who has knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will his conscience, if he is weak, not be strengthened to eat these things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, the one who is weak is ruined, the brother or sister for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against the brothers and sisters, and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to sin. Proverbs 21:11-20. When the scoffer is punished, the naive become wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked, bringing the wicked to ruin. One who shuts his ear to the outcry of the poor will also call out himself and not be answered. A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in an inside pocket strong wrath. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but terror to those who practice injustice. A person who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. One who loves pleasure will become a poor person, and one who loves wine and oil will not become rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and irritating woman. There is precious treasure and oil in the home of the wise, but a foolish person swallows it up. Psalm 44, 9 through 26. Yet you have rejected us and brought us to dishonor, and do not go out with our armies. You cause us to turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoils for themselves. You turn us over to be eaten like sheep, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people cheaply, and have not profited by their sale. You make us an object of reproach to our neighbors, of scoffing and ridicule to those around us. You make us a proverb among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my dishonor is before me, and I am covered with my humiliation, because of the voice of the one who taunts and reviles, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, and we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your way. Yet you have crushed us in a place of jackals, and covered us with deep darkness. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or extended our hands to a strange God, would God not find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. But for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Wake yourself up. Why do you sleep, Lord? Awake, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and oppression? For our souls have sunk down into the dust. Our bodies cling to the earth. Rise up, be our help, and redeem us because of your mercy.